Fog and Fireflies by Tim Lennon. Audio production by Brian Walsh. Prologue. The Rampart Walk. A sobbing, guttural moan drifted over the rampart. Ogma froze, heart racing. Despite herself, she shivered. At 14 seasons old, after 8 walking the wall, she still had to remind herself not to heed the voices in the fog. Ogma had made up her mind seasons ago that it was better to be angry than afraid. But on nights like this, the butterflies in her stomach had their own ideas. She took a steadying breath and pushed the fear away. The night was crisp and clear, and her breath hung in the air. Her cheeks were flushed and pinched in the cold. The stars shone brightly over the roofs of the sleeping village, wheeling and dancing, winking in and out as they always did when the fog was high. She studied the gray bank as shapes gently coalesced within its form, and as gently and silently dispersed. The moon had just risen, and hung low and large, bright enough to cast shadows. Ogma searched the sky for the moon's smaller sister, but tonight she did not join the dance. The glow of fog under the moonlight was beautiful. Beautiful and cold, Ogma thought, and wrapped herself more tightly in her coat. She glanced back at the town as Enki and Enoch tolled their quarternight chime. She held her breath for a beat and listened. A moment later, Ogma heard the cheerful chords of the twins' bells from the rampart ahead of her, and the clear basso note of Cole's single bell more distantly behind. Ogma sighed with relief and added the sorrowful minor chord of her own two bells. The younger children had remembered. Only the bells could be trusted. Ogma rang hers in a pattern that meant, "I'm here. I'm okay. Don't worry. Keep to your post." The other children on the wall acknowledged her with their chimes again. Most nights were better than this. Most nights, the fog rolled in gentle drifts much further from the walls, quiescent. Most nights, you could see the ground, and you could trust the voices you heard. On those nights, the growls and mutters beyond the wall were as likely to be beasts of flesh and blood as they were to be fog phantoms. But even when voices couldn't be trusted, Ogma worried a cry for help might still be real. She bit her lip, braced her hands against the stone rampart, and leaned out. The fog billowed back away from her. Phantom shapes chittered and cajoled, egging her on to leave the walls, to come out to open ground where the fog could envelop her. Eyes straining against the gloom, she peered at the ground. No one would be stupid enough to be out on a night like this anyway. No other towns had drifted close in weeks. Trying to sort out shape from shadow in the fog was making her eyes cross. Ogma pushed herself back from the rampart and continued on her patrol. The gently creaking frame of one of the village's great windmills silhouetted itself against the stars. At each of the 8 corners of the wall, windmills turned, powered by heavy counterweights that teams of the village men cranked up during breaks in the fog, when it was safe. Though the blades moved ponderously slow to Ogma's eyes, she could feel the breeze. With each mill angled toward the next, they created a current in the air, redirecting the fog to flow around the walls to keep it from crashing over them. "Not for lack of trying." Phantom tendrils caressed the windmill blades. Ogma grit her teeth and glared at the roiling bank. For just a moment it billowed back, retreated, and then the phantom voices laughed at her. The mellifluous pealing of 2 sets of small bells in harmony brought Ogma back to attention. It was the twins, May and Maya, their patrol crossing hers as they went the opposite way around this span of the wall. Ogma chimed her chord in response. She turned once again to the walkway, peering into the night for the 2 approaching girls. At the midway point between this mill and the next, the fog sent gently probing tendrils out over the stones. The foremost of these were just curling over the wall's inner edge. Berating herself under her breath, Ogma hurried her steps, glaring at the misty coils and shooing at them with her gloved hands. The tendrils reared up, a hooded shape hissing and spitting, winding menacingly around her before dissolving as the coils tightened. Ogma crossed her arms, staring down the bank, summoning anger to banish fear. Yet small shapes still seemed to dart beneath its surface, and rude and laughing faces briefly coalesced just out of sight. Ogma tapped her foot. The petulant fog gradually quieted into a placid sea once more. The gentle harmony chimed closer, and May and Maya stepped up beside her. The twin girls were holding hands and bundled warmly against the cold, eyes shining with excitement even as they looked anxiously up at her. Ogma realized she was still glaring and put on a smile.
"Ogma, Ogma! Have you ever seen the fog so thick?" Maya piped, wide-eyed and bubbling.
May was too excited to let Ogma respond, and she put in,
"Did you know? Did you know? We saw the fog make horses, and a cat!"
Both girls were breathlessly cheerful, and Ogma's smile widened, though she kept her voice stern. "May, Maya," she scolded. "It may be your first season on patrol, but you know why the fog makes those shapes." They shuffled their feet, ruefully studying their shoes.
"Wheeler says it's playing tricks to lure us away from our posts," Maya droned in the voice of a child reciting an oft-repeated lesson.
May puffed out her small chest and adopted a serious expression, deepening her voice to try and match that of the older boy.
"You must be ever watchful," she intoned, pompously wagging her finger.
Ogma tried very hard not to laugh as the young girl put both hands on her hips and swept the fog with an imperious stare. Maya giggled behind her mittens.
"That's right," Ogma said seriously, "and you should listen to him. You know what would happen if the fog got over the walls. I remember if you don't."
The two girls' smiles faded, serious faces now genuine.
"We remember," they said in unison.
Ogma's heart softened. May shuffled her feet hesitantly.
Did you hear the voice?" she asked anxiously.
Ogma felt that tight feeling in the pit of her stomach return. She and Cole had both heard several voices out in the fog these past few nights. That was to be expected. But that voice?
"It's the same every night."
"Yes, I did," Ogma warned them. "And that just means the fog is trying extra hard to get you, so be careful, and don't listen to anything but the bells." She saw the fear on their faces, but the excitement shone through as well.
"They still think of it as a game," she thought. "Was I ever that young?"
She wished she still was. "You two get going to the next mill. Jory should be coming soon to replace you." Ogma shooed them with her bells, and the girls clasped hands and skipped on, chattering as they went. Ogma went on her own way, to the mill the girls had come from, and settled in to wait for Bridget to spell her for the next shift. The windmill blades turned slowly, stirring white caps on the fog. She pulled off her gloves to warm her fingers with her breath. Grumbling, she kept one ever-watchful eye on the fog, and thought longingly of hot cider and a warm bed.